The Franklin Institute supports WHYY. Presenting Vatican Splendors, featuring 2,000 years of Vatican history and a collection of historical and religious objects many never before on display to the public. From the sights and sounds of the Grand Basilica to a touchable cast of the hand of St. John Paul II, it's an opportunity to experience the grandeur of the Vatican. Open September 19th, only at the Franklin Institute. Tickets at fi.edu.
We are now just hours away from Pope Francis's historic visit to Philadelphia. It's the first by a pope in 36 years. I'm Dave Heller, and this is Newsworks Tonight. Walk around Center City, Philadelphia at this 6 o'clock hour, and you're likely to see gaggles of habited nuns snapping pictures of tourist attractions or asking directions from locals. During the New York leg of his visit, Pope Francis thanked American nuns, calling them fighters, and said, "I love you." This special shout-out comes at the end of an especially contentious time between women religions and the Vatican. WHYY's Katie Colinari reports that a local sister was at the center of that controversy.
Sister Carol Zinn doesn't wear a traditional habit. Still, she says she gets stopped in airports and other public places by people saying, "You must be a sister." Perhaps it's the way she keeps calm, even during the most rattling situations. Zinn is one of the presidents of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, or LCWR, the group that represents the majority of sisters in the United States. In 2012, the Vatican under Pope Benedict launched an investigation of the group.
The feelings were everything from sadness, pain, hurt, betrayal, wondering why this and how and what kind of moment is this for the church.
In a report issued by an American cardinal, the Vatican claimed the LCWR had strayed from Catholic teaching and was instead promoting, quote, radical feminist themes. Sisters were spending too much time advocating for the poor and not enough time protesting abortion and same-sex marriage, the Vatican said.
We did not understand where any of those accusations or judgments perhaps came from, nor what they were about. And I think we still hold that today.
Both sides have agreed to keep the details of the investigation under wraps. Zinn, a sister of St. Joseph for 47 years, says tension has always existed between men and women religious and the church's male hierarchy.
The church understands that there is this healthy, holy tension between the hierarchical institutional church, which holds the articulation of the belief of the community, and those called to live not in the center of that, but to live out of the center of it, but to live on the margins.
In Philadelphia, the recent firing of a same-sex married Catholic school teacher has thrust that tension into the headlines. The Sisters of Mercy, the religious order that sponsors the school, fired the teacher, Margie Winters. The Archdiocese of Philadelphia has denied involvement, but has supported that decision. Meanwhile, one of the most prominent Sisters of Mercy, Sister Mary Scullion, has defended Winters. Scullion is the founder of Project Home and a well-known advocate for the homeless. Speaking on WHYY's Radio Times, Scullion was hopeful church leaders would be more welcoming to people like Winters.
I do know that conversion, transformation, and change are possible, and God's grace is stronger than any dogma.
It was Pope Francis who brought change to the Vatican's relationship with American nuns. Last April, at a meeting in Rome, Vatican officials notified Sister Carol Zinn and the other LCWR leaders the investigation was over, 3 years after it began. Immediately afterward, Pope Francis invited the sisters to meet with him.
I mean, we were just absolutely thrilled, overjoyed, and shocked all at the same time.
They didn't talk about the investigation, except to tell him that it was over. But Zinn says they immediately felt a connection with Pope Francis, who, like them, is from a religious order, the Jesuits. During that visit to Rome, Zinn had already noticed a change compared to previous years.
I felt a definite shift, and I think it's the shift that we're seeing the fruit of as Pope Francis makes his way around the world.
Zinn says the Pope is encouraging all people, not just women religious in America, to serve those who are on the margins, because that's where he is, too.
He goes to where they are, literally. I mean, he goes out of the Popemobile, you know. But it is a metaphor, I think, for what he is asking all of us to do, to go out of the place that you are most familiar with, literally what we believe Jesus did. He went to the edges.
Katie Culinary, WHYY News.
So now let's look ahead to the weekend in Philadelphia with Katie Culinary. Katie, I've been watching the proceedings in New York City all day. I'm tired. Is the Pope going to have energy to come here tomorrow?
Well, those who work closely with him and follow his papacy say that he has a really good way of kind of, you know, taking naps, scheduling naps during his visits to make sure that he can keep his energy up. But I have to say, I'm really shocked at how he's just gone from one event to the next. And he doesn't seem to tire of meeting people. That seems to give him more energy. It's unbelievable.
So when is he scheduled to touch down at Philly International?
So he arrives at Philadelphia International Airport tomorrow morning at 9:30, and he goes straight to the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul to celebrate Mass. That's one of the smaller events that he's going to have while he's here. There's going to be about 1,600 people, mostly sisters, brothers, men and women, religious people from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and others who were able to score a ticket, officials who organized the World Meeting of Families. And then he's going to head to Independence Mall later the afternoon around 4:45 for a speech on immigration. And then he finishes the day with the Festival of Families on the Ben Franklin Parkway. That's the big concert with Aretha Franklin and Andrea Bocelli and the whole all-star lineup.
Now, what do we know at this juncture about what he might talk about during that speech on Independence Mall?
The topic of that speech, we've been told, is religious freedom and immigration. And the immigration policy expert with the U.S. Conference of Bishops was quoted in the Inquirer the other day as saying that this is going to be the sleeper of his American visit, as in this actually is going to be possibly even more important than his speech to Congress, his speech to the U.N., and all these other events that have gotten a lot of press in the months leading up to this visit. And there's a lot of anticipation around the country, especially in Philadelphia, for what he's going to say, because immigration, as you know, is a really controversial topic. But it's clear that the Catholic Church around the world needs immigrants. The Catholic population in America has been kept from shrinking because of its welcoming of foreign-born people from Vietnam, from Latin America. They've really kind of kept the numbers of faithful in America strong. Father Bruce Lewandowski is the head of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia's Office for Cultural Ministries, and he's really clear on what he wants Pope Francis to say in that speech tomorrow.
To hear him say to people, I love you, God loves you, you're special, you're important. Then I think the Pope should say, all right, to the U.S. government, get moving. 11 million plus people need you to act now.
So, Katie, that pretty much takes us through Saturday evening. Was the Pope able to secure a hotel room for overnight accommodations?
That's a good question. I don't think he'll be staying in a hotel. It's tradition that the Pope stays with whoever the Archbishop is of the area. So he's likely to be staying at Borromeo Seminary with Archbishop Charles Chaput.
Hopefully a good night's sleep, because it's a full Sunday ahead as well.
It definitely is. So at 9:15 on Sunday morning, he starts with a meeting with bishops at the seminary. And then at 11, he is off to Kern Frumhold Correctional Facility. That's the city's largest prison, where he's going to be meeting with about 100 inmates and 18 family members. And that's one of the most intimate venues that he has on this trip. Then at 4 o'clock, it's the big papal mass on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, wrapping up the World Meeting of Families. And then at 7 o'clock, he visits with some of those organizers from the World Meeting, and then he takes off back to Rome. And that's a wrap on this huge papal visit that we've been covering for months, it seems.
And then we will be left with the memories and the impressions of this amazing period of time in Philadelphia.
Right. And questions about what this visit is, the kind of lasting impact that this visit is going to have on the Catholic Church, on people in the region and across the country.
And of course, logistics have been put into place to hopefully make sure that things go smoothly. And with that, let's catch up with WHYY's Tom McDonald, joining us from the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Tom.
Hi, Dave.
Walking through Center City today, it was very calm, very quiet. It's hard to believe that 24 hours from now it will be very different.
Depends on where you are walking, Dave. I mean, in downtown, a lot of places were very, very tranquil. You almost saw a tumbleweed on Market Street. But if you went to some of the areas along the Francis Festival Zone, you had to go through a magnetometer. That's because the security is starting to tighten up. And as the evening progresses, it's going to get even more tightened up, as the traffic box will come into effect at about 10 o'clock tonight.
And that traffic box will bring further restrictions at its tightest tomorrow. Do you anticipate very slow going, almost gridlock?
First of all, you can get out of the traffic box, but you cannot get into the traffic box. So if you're already in, you can stay in and move around.
How about for pedestrians?
Pedestrians, it's basically free rein, except in the areas where there are magnetometers. That's the City Hall area out to the Mass area and the Festival of Families area at the Art Museum, also right outside your front window on Independence Hall.
Now, many of the events are ticketed, although I've seen Jumbotron screens throughout. Is it thought that just about everybody who wants to at least see the Pope on a big screen will be able to do so?
Absolutely. There is 40 big screens total scattered throughout the Center City area, and it seems like everywhere you turn, there's another screen that is showing the papal events.
Tom, I understand on hand earlier today at the Convention Center, Governor Tom Wolf, who will be part of the festivities as well.
That's right, Dave. The governor is very important to the events that are happening tomorrow at Independence Hall. He's very excited about his participation in the event.
This Pope, I think, espouses values of fairness, of justice, of openness, things that I think are so important to the values of Pennsylvania. So it's important that we give him the respect that he deserves, because I think we're also thereby giving respect not just to him as a person, but to those very values that are important to all of us as Pennsylvanians.
And Tom, I know you'll be out and about throughout the weekend.
It's going to be a very busy one, and just about everybody that we have on staff is going to be out and about, Dave.
Be safe. Thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thanks, Dave.
WHYY's Tom McDonald and Katie Culinary. And when Pope Francis does come to town, one of the interpreters translating his words into sign language will be Victor Caluso. As WHYY's Joe Hernandez reports, the Camden native was connected to Pope Francis long before he got this assignment.
In 2002, Victor Colazzo's wife, Noreen, died of a sudden heart arrhythmia. Colazzo is Catholic, but says right then he lost his faith.
I was 29, she was 24, and I just didn't understand what happened.
And it stayed that way for 11 years, until a little-known cardinal from Argentina was elected pope and emerged from the balcony of St. Peter's Square as the new head of the Catholic Church.
As an interpreter, as an American Sign Language interpreter, we really focus on facial expression and body language. And when I first saw him, even before he spoke, I just connected for some reason, and I couldn't understand it.
Colazzo credits Pope Francis with getting him back on the road to religion and says that's what makes this assignment so special. Colazzo will be one of several sign language interpreters for the Pope's speech on Independence Mall. Because he speaks Spanish, the Archdiocese also asked him to be ready if Pope Francis decides to wade into the crowd and meet the faithful one-on-one.
Every time I see the Holy Father travel to a country or give a speech or, you know, just interacting with the average person, it says a lot to people, because he seems to be more in tuned with the average man.
Colazzo was one of eight children born to Puerto Rican parents in Camden. He went to Holy Name Elementary School, Camden Catholic High School in Cherry Hill, and graduated from Rutgers Camden. He now lives in Arizona, managing a team of American Sign Language interpreters. Friends and family will be watching TV coverage of the Pope's visit to see if they can spot Colazzo, but he says his parents will be looking for something else. When they heard who he'd be translating for, they asked their son to get Pope Francis to bless two strings of rosary beads. Colazzo is cautiously optimistic he can deliver.
I told him, I said, you know, you have to understand, I'm going to be interpreting, I'm going to be using my hands, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to reach out and you know, have hit the Holy Father bless two rosaries, but I will. I'll have those rosaries in my pocket, and if I have the opportunity, I definitely will ask the Holy Father.
Colazzo will also be interpreting several songs during the evening musical performances. He says he's been practicing for 2 hours every day. From the New Jersey desk, I'm Joe Hernandez, WHYY News.
Turning to this evening's headlines, New Jersey Transit expands the sale of special tickets for those traveling to Philadelphia to see Pope Francis this weekend. Special papal tickets on the Atlantic City Rail Line will be sold between 5 a.m. and 1:45 p.m. tomorrow and Sunday for hourly departures from Atlantic City to Philly's 30th Street Station. A federal judge in Philadelphia approves a $50 million class action settlement between cable TV giant Comcast and its customers. KYW-TV reports the settlement was reached last year, but only now has been signed by the judge. Comcast customers sued in 2003, claiming Comcast and other cable providers swapped customers in order to gain a monopoly that enabled Comcast to raise prices and limit viewer choices. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie signs an executive order honoring baseball great Yogi Berra. The order calls for state government buildings to fly flags at half-staff on Tuesday in recognition of the life and in mourning of the Montclair resident. Overcast, 71 degrees on Independence Mall. It's 6:20. You're listening to Newsworks Tonight on WHYY-FM. Still ahead.
I never thought I would be able to sing for Pope Francis, but it'll be really fun.
A few lucky Germantown children are gearing up for their big moment. Newsworks Tonight continues on WHYY.
The Franklin Institute supports WHYY, presenting Vatican Splendors, featuring 2,000 years of Vatican history and a collection of historical and religious objects many never before on display to the public. From the sights and sounds of the Grand Basilica to a touchable cast of the hand of St. John Paul II, it's an opportunity to experience the grandeur of the Vatican. Open September 19th, only at the Franklin Institute. Tickets at fi.edu.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Philadelphia supports WHYY. Patients lead busy lives while fighting cancer, working, raising families, and doing the things they love. CTCA helps patients maintain their quality of life by strengthening their immune systems while in treatment. CTCA's integrated approach to cancer treatment includes conventional cancer treatment combined with nutritional counseling, organic cuisine, naturopathic and chiropractic medicine, physical therapy, and other important treatments. More at cancercenter.com.
Welcome back to Newsworks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Francis yesterday became the first pope to address Congress, and while he did not shy away from divisive topics, including immigration, global warming, abortion, and capital punishment, public support for the messenger far exceeds that for the politicians who were the recipients of the message. Let's learn more with Frank Newport, editor-in-chief of the Gallup poll. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Dave.
So let's cut right to it. How much more popular is the pope than members of Congress?
Quite a bit more popular. 59% is our latest favorable rating on Pope Francis. Now, that came before his trip to the U.S., so clearly it may have gone up during this trip or gone down. We don't know yet. That's an empirical question. I should point out that about a quarter of Americans don't have an opinion about Pope Francis, so that 59% is actually higher if we factor out those who don't have an opinion. Everybody has an opinion about Congress. The people that were listening to the Pope's speech on Thursday, 14% is the latest approval rating for Congress. So clearly the Pope was more popular, as you said, Dave, than those men and women sitting in the audience listening.
But focusing on opinions regarding Congress, does it matter whether it's based on a more superficial versus more nuanced understanding of the body?
Well, that's an excellent question, and we actually did some research recently to get to the bottom of that, because some have suggested that perhaps people just say, I hate Congress, and they don't really know what's going on. So we put that to the test. We ask a series of questions, knowledge questions about Congress. Things like, do you know who the Senate Majority Leader is? What's the term for a member of the House of Representatives? Who confirms judges? Which party controls the House? And so on and so forth. So then we could get very knowledgeable people about Congress versus those who weren't knowledgeable at all. Then we cross that with their opinions of Congress, and the results show overwhelmingly that the more you know about Congress, the less you like Congress. It was very, very startling. Those people who don't know much, can't answer questions about Congress, tended to have average opinions, certainly not very negative. But boy, Americans who know what's going on in Washington really give the body, that is Congress, very negative ratings. So the more you know, the less you like the U.S. Congress.
Gosh, given that level of disenchantment with Republicans and Democrats, what's the backing for a third party?
pretty good, but it's not unusual based on where we have been in previous years. 60%, to be specific, say yes. The two major parties are doing such a poor job that we need a third party. But that's been where it is for a number of years recently. It came down when we asked it about in 2012 after Obama's reelection, but at that point people were more positive. But generally the 60% figure is not out of line with what we've seen. The biggest proponents of a third party are not shockingly independents. 78% of that group of Americans, about 40% who say they are independent, say yes, we want a third party. Other than that, interestingly, Democrats and Republicans are about the same, but almost half of both Democrats and Republicans themselves, these are people who identify to us as Democrats and Republicans, say they think that it would be great to have a third party in this country.
Looking back, is it typical for the call for a third party, though, to come from independents? I'm thinking of, say, Ross Perot or George Wallace. Did they draw from that middle?
Well, clearly Ross Perot did. He drew from the independents. I don't have the data in front of me about George Wallace, but keep in mind Perot, I'm glad you brought it up, was 1992, and that's a long time ago now. And he at one point was leading both George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton in the national polling for who you would vote for president. And then, as we know, when the dust settled, Perot got 19% of the popular vote running as an independent or third-party candidate. So clearly this appetite for and actual willingness to vote for a third-party candidate is not something new.
Thanks, Frank.
You bet, Dave.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight. We are now just about 15 hours out from Pope Francis's scheduled arrival in Philadelphia, and it seems preparations are nearly complete. WHYY's Nima Mershania headed to Germantown to talk to one family about their special role.
Those are the Beattie children, Manny, Benicio, Clara, and Calliope. They are among 50 kids that will greet Pope Francis on the steps of the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul on Saturday morning. They'll sing again during Sunday's outdoor mass on the parkway. The Beatties range from ages 8 to 14. They can't wait for the chance to sing for the pontiff alongside their peers from the Archdiocese Children's Choir.
I never thought I would be able to sing for Pope Francis or that I was ever going to sing for Pope Francis, but it'll be really fun. I'm sort of nervous, but mostly excited.
That's the youngest, Calliope. Her older sister, Clara, says rehearsing hasn't always been easy.
It's really fun, but it's not just regular singing. It's more like singing for God, and so that's like really, really important. It's not easy to do, so you have to sort of, like, you have to try really hard, and sometimes it's really tiring, but it's really enjoyable.
Their mom, Maria Beattie, says it's been a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for her kids. Maria, her husband, and her parents have tickets to Sunday's Mass, but will watch the performance at the Basilica on TV.
Seeing our children participate in this has been surreal. We've been driving to the Basilica to their rehearsals, and I told my husband, I said, this is kind of the reason I wanted to have children, you know, that they could not just worship God, but they could do it, you know, in the most excellent way for the most excellent person. And It's just amazing. I'm so proud and I'm so excited.
The children will also travel to Rome in December with the choir to participate in the International Children's Choir Festival. For WHYY, I'm Nima Roshania.
That's all for tonight's show. Newsworks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yakov and Kimberly Haas. We had help this week from Alex Lewis, Brett Rader, and our intern, Kevin Rowley. Our news director is Eugene Son. At the helm this week, Al Banks, Diana Martinez, and Adam Staniszewski. Joyce Lieberman is our radio engineering supervisor. Join us tomorrow evening for a special Newsworks Tonight broadcast with live reports and commentary on the Pope's first day in Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us and have a great weekend. I'm Dave Heller for Newsworks Tonight.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Philadelphia supports WHYY. Patients lead busy lives while fighting cancer, working, raising families, and doing the things they love. CTCA helps patients maintain their quality of life by strengthening their immune systems while in treatment. CTCA's integrated approach to cancer treatment includes conventional cancer treatment combined with nutritional counseling, organic cuisine, naturopathic and chiropractic medicine, physical therapy, and other important treatments. More at cancercenter.com.